and thank you that we can come together this morning. We come before you, Lord, with a open heart to receive from you your word. Quicken our mind. Enable us to hear what you want us to know, understand, and put to work in our lives. We just praise and thank you, Lord, for we know that you have a good plan for each one of us. And Lord, as we hear, Lord, and as we continue to seek your face, Lord, you're going to bring us from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Lord, the time are such these days that we need becomes more and more important to have you guiding us in the step we take. And so, Lord, we just come to you, Lord, wanting to have more of you in our lives so that we may be, Lord, doing the things you're calling us to do. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Last week, we were looking at the factors that determines the degree of success we have in our life in implementing the Word of God in us. And we use the parable of the sower or the seed as our starting point to see what the Lord was telling us that determines the degree of success we are going to have in applying the Word to ourselves. Not everybody is going to have the same type of degree. Some may have 100%, another 160, another 30, and some may get nothing. And the problem is not with God not wanting us to have the things that He promised us, but it's with us that we can not be in the position to receive what He has given us. See, this is not what generally people think when they don't get the things from God. They may be praying or going to Him to ask for things, and they don't get things, and they think God doesn't want to give it to them. And I'm talking about promises that He makes to us. The Bible is full of wonderful, precious promises. And they should be a sure outcome in our lives. And when people seek for these things and they don't get them, they blame God because He didn't give it to them, without realizing that they do exactly the things that stop them from receiving. What they should do instead is to go to the Word and see what's going on and develop them within themselves the faith or the beliefs to be able to receive the things that God has given them. And this is a struggle. This is really the fight of faith that we have. And we have to understand how to fight that fight. And not to come to conclusions that are really not justified. Now we saw that how Jesus was actually explaining the parable to His disciples. And explaining why He was talking in parable and not saying things straight. Okay, this is important for us to understand, is because the understanding that we get from what He says, from His word, is determined by the position of our heart. He said it very clearly, they have ear to hear, but they have eyes to see, but they don't see. Because of their heart has become dull. So this is our heart that needs to be softened toward what God is saying, and has to be open to receive the things that He is showing to us. And He's more than just listening or reading some scriptures. You can read scriptures and get nowhere. You can even pray and get nowhere. I mean, if just prayer should bring us to revelation and understanding, the Muslims should have much more understanding than Christians. Because they pray much more than we do. Let's face it. So prayer in itself is not the solution. Prayer with the right spirit, with the right mind, with the right thought makes a difference. See, actually, sometimes by praying always the same thing, we can get ourselves stuck in a position that is wrong because we pray the wrong way, with the wrong thought. So what we essentially are doing is meditating on things that are opposite of what the Word of God says. That's not prayer. That is going after our own thought. Prayer is instead a communication with God by which we listen and interact with Him. And the basis for that is to use the Word of God as a basis for our prayer. And we have to even be careful what word we used, because there is a lot of word that don't apply to us, or should not apply to us. If you are a born-again believer, you should see what relates to you in the New Testament as a born-again believer and work on that basis. But there are many people that don't make it indifferent. They take all the scripture at face value without really understanding that they have to be taken in context and they have to be applied the way they are meant to be when they were spoken. You know, even in that, we have to have some wisdom in knowing how to use the scripture. Even Peter said about the scripture of Paul, you know, that lots of people mess themselves up because they don't understand what he's talking about. It hasn't changed very much even today. The idea is that we have to realize and understand that there are the factors influencing the way we are going to receive and interact with God. And in the parable of the sower, of the seed helps us, we should apply that to our situation, to when we try to work the scripture for ourselves. The soul there is ourself, is our heart. Jesus explained that very well. And so our heart has to be prepared and able to receive the word. If our heart is not receiving the word, we are not going to get very much out of it. The seed going on the ground is not going to reproduce. There is nothing to make it reproduce. And even then, when he goes and, you know, even go on the soil, if there are stones, if there are other things that influence us. You know, he's talking about, yet in stony places, hear the word and immediately receive it with joy. But when he has no root in itself, but endures, this is Matthew 13:21, root in itself, but endures only for a while. And when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumble. You see, this is the situation in that case is that there is a temptation coming in to take away the word. And that temptation is pressure from outside. Any type of pressure. It talks about persecution or tribulation. See, but it's for the word. You take a position for the word and you put pressure from the world around you against that thought, that idea, the position you took. So that you, because you are a Christian, then people think, well, you know, you're just fanatic. You just don't know what you're talking about. Poor you. And you accept that thought. Automatically, you are going to invalidate the word effectiveness in your life. You have to be solid and strong in that position for it to work. And not go by what the world think. See, as soon as you get that kind of pressure in yourself, you have to know that this is a temptation to affect the way you think, and because you want to be accepted by the people, you are going to give in your thoughts. That's the way in which you are not going to have any power coming out of the word. And you are not going to have success in the things you're asking God. Because, you know, you're going to try to get some things that you need really badly. But there are other things that you have to stand for Him, and you don't. Well, it just doesn't work that one moment when it's convenient to you, you want to believe, and the next moment you're just rejecting it. There has to be consistency in your behavior. There has to be consistency in your position. If you compromise in one area, you are compromised. So you have to be careful. See, the stones are the things that are there blocking you from being able to develop the roots that are required to go into the ground, to take the power that is there to make the fruit come out. See, this is external pressure that produces inside you weakness, spiritual weakness. Then there is another type of temptation, are the verse 22. Now he who receives seeds among the thorn is he who hears the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. This is all the distraction, the passions, the attachment of the flesh, the love of money, whatever. Anything that pulled you away from the love that you have for God and distract you from that and takes you in a different direction. Even if those things in themselves, there are no wrong. There are many things that I enjoy and I don't have the time to do because I have to spend time doing the things that God called me to do. And I do it willingly and I do it without any effort. Because I know that this is, if I had to put the balance between the two things, those things are much less important and they don't affect me anymore. This is for everybody. Everybody has this type of things. But you know, if you let those things take your attention from the Word, from your relationship with God, they are going to choke the Word. They can be good things. You can be, I know myself, I can be doing things for the Lord. Doing things. And they detract me from having a relationship with Him. See, He's not doing things. He's allowing Him to work in you. You can be so busy about doing things for God that you miss the boat completely and do your own thing instead of doing what God wants you to do. I'm generally busy, and you know, if I get too busy, I don't have time to spend with God, and this is the most important thing I can do. Because that's where everything else comes to me. My understanding, my breakthrough, my revelations, my power, anything that I need to have in my life comes from there, not from the work I do. And the work I do has to be just the outflow, the fruit of the other. Like the seed again that grows in the ground. I mean, you had to take that image and use it to see and to connect with the way God works in your life. The way the Word works in your life. But he who receives the seed in good ground, who hears the Word and understand it, who indeed bear fruit and produces some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. So that's it's evidently is the type of commitment and the type of understanding that they receive enables them to produce at a certain level. Is the receiving, accepting. So, you know, if you don't get the word, you can't produce very much. That's the starting point. So the seed is where it starts from. And then your response to the seed is everything that is important. And depending on that, the understanding that you see, start with the understanding. If you don't understand it, the word can't do very much. They're just words. Is when words become life, they become makes a difference. When they are applied. So they have to understand it and apply it afterwards. You know, if you understand it, you do nothing with it, nothing happens. You want outcome? Make sure you take off all the stones. Make sure that other seeds are not planted there, like thorn seeds, like weed planted at the same time. Make sure that you get the understanding, the stay in the Word enough to be able to receive it. And then there is another parable that shows us the way these things develop. And this is so important too. In Mark chapter 4 verse 26. It says, and he said, the kingdom of God is as a man who shall scatter seed on the ground. And he shall sleep night and rise by day, and the seed shall sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. You see, the seeds is not you. It's not your strength, it's the word. That comes on the ground, which is the way I explained before, it's you, your heart, not your mind. And just go and keep going and just let the word, the seed stay inside there. So, it says, you know, and go to sleep and at night and rest by day. You see, there is time passing by. I mean, the word doesn't necessarily produce instantaneous result. It may take time, and it takes time to develop the results inside you. But the thing is, it starts to grow, and the grow is not you, it's the life that is in the seed. See, the life that's in the seed makes it grow. And so there is not effort from your side to make it grow. Your effort is directed in a different direction. You shouldn't be trying to get it work. You should be trying to connect it, understand it, and receive it. And allow it to move you, control you, direct you in your life. So it says here, for the earth yields crop by itself. First the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain of head. You see, it's a process, not instantaneous. And you will start seeing some results even before the end of the story. Okay. But when the grain ripens, immediately you put the sickle, takes the harvest, because the harvest has come. So really that's the thing that we had to understand, that we had to cooperate. And so the plant that grows is really the seed growing inside you, in your heart, and grows and develops, starting small and becoming bigger. Doesn't need to be instantaneous. You know, even when there is a instantaneous activity or miracle or manifestation, it's not happened just like that. It happened as the result of a process that went on for a long time before. You know, when people get saved, even that, say, oh, well, then you know, it looks like it's instantaneous things. Absolutely not true. Salvation is not instantaneous. First of all, it's not, because the change is not complete there. But no, for the person to be open to receive even what you say or being exposed to the Lord, the Holy Spirit has been working on them for a long time. And so there are things that are, there are openings there that you can, if you are there with the right word and the right thing at the right time, go through. But it's not instantaneous. Nothing is instantaneous. Doesn't work that way. God works and build up things a bit at a time. It takes time. The roots must come out of the seed to start with. You see, the seed is there, but the seed has to put root in the ground. That means that is starting to produce some impact in places that's beyond the seed, inside you, and start to take life from it in the process. And then the seed expands, become bigger, grows, and start to put little pieces on, you know, stem and so on, and start to grow. The whole process is completely effortless. But what your work is to do is that to take care of the ground and take care of the seed. Protect your heart with all diligence. You know, you had to remove the rock. You had to make sure that there are no other seeds planted in there. You had to make sure that your direction is kept there. You had to make sure that you spend time with the seed and take care of it. And then you get the results. By itself. Why? Because the life in the seed is enough to produce the results.
That's all.
So we said two things really that are critical for this, for success for us in the world. One is the Word of God, which is the seed, which is the one from which start. The other one is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is critical to our relationship with God. See, there's a problem there. Because many people do not understand the Holy Spirit. I believe that actually, you know, if you see in general the church, the number of people that really have a relationship with the Holy Spirit is very small. Take any book in theology. For many people, the Holy Spirit is something you study about. And the Holy Spirit is not something you study about. It's something you have an interaction with, an experience with. I mean, it's not wrong to know about the Holy Spirit. But knowing the Holy Spirit in terms of information doesn't help you at all. Holy Spirit is like a person. I can give you a description of my wife. You know, and tell you the way she looks, how high she is, how much she weighs. Maybe she doesn't like that. Maybe the color of her hair, the color of her eyes, whatever, you know, make a sketch of her. That's not her. That's not her. By doing that, you don't know her. To know her, you had to interact with her. And the more you interact with her, and the more you are going to know her. And the same thing with everybody. So, you know, what people do about these things, they do a Bible study. Well, a Bible study is like making a description, you know, of somebody. I mean, I study, you have a move shirt and, you know, pants like that. That doesn't help at all in connecting with you. I had to rub shoulder and see and interact with you and talk with you, and you talk with me and we respond and we deal with that. You see, it's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. You cannot know the Holy Spirit by a Bible study. You had to learn to relate to Him and to respond to Him and to receive from Him and to talk with Him, and it's a person-like. So the idea is, unless that happened, you really don't know the Holy Spirit. See, the word that is called here, you know, the word that is often used for that is gnosko. And in many cases, actually, just John doesn't use that word. I know, I noticed it just recently. You know, the Gospel of John or the Epistle of John, he never used gnosko. He always used gnosko, not epignosko. But Paul and many of the others use the word epignosko, which means, you know, to know and discern deeply, beyond the surface. See, and when it refers to people, all the others always talk about this knowledge that you get by interacting with Him. Is the things that happen when you, for example, know God, and you are expected not just to know God, the attribute, oh, is this and the other thing. No, to know God, you're expected to actually interact with Him, so that you have a personal knowledge, a personal experience with Him. That one makes the difference. So this is why it's so important to have that kind of relationship with Him. You know, there are some scripture I wanted to start with. Like, for example, Luke 24:49 says, "Behold, I send you the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." So the idea is that one of the results that happens when we start to have this interaction is that we receive actually spiritual power. And we need that to have any spiritual power, actually. In John 16:7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, if it is your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send them to you." You see, it's better to have the Holy Spirit with us than to have Jesus around. That's what He said. Many people say, "Oh, I would have liked to be at the time of Jesus." Well, you're better off today. because you are the Holy Spirit. You are in the time of the Holy Spirit. He said that. So why, you see, just thinking in those terms shows that we haven't got it. I mean, it's not that we are so wanting to know God. No, just listen to the word. Just listen what he said. And he said, it's better for you. So we should at least believe what he said. Won't you say? All right. So I have another scripture here. In John chapter 16 verse 13 says, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. How can he guide us? I mean, this is so important. The scripture to me is really the key of what I'm trying to say to you. Okay, how can he guide to you if you don't have a relationship with him? It's impossible. You see, to guide you, he has to grab you by hand and take you along. So unless there is this kind of a relationship that he can grab your hand and take you along, unless you be able to hear what he's saying, unless you interact with him on a regular basis, unless you epignosco him, I mean, unless you really know and understand him, there is no way. You are just going through the motion. Are you following me? So we should seek above everything to have that relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I would say then 80% of Christianity doesn't. Probably more. Even theologically they don't understand him. I mean, it's just in the mind. When instead this is things that you cannot have a relationship in the mind. Your relationship involves all of you, but above everything else, your heart. You see, that's where the relationship is. And so unless we have a heart relationship with the Holy Spirit, we can't say that he can guide us in all truth. What we are going to be guided by is what we hear people saying. So that's to be the major thrust, the major desire in us, is to have that relationship with the Holy Spirit, because it's going to enable us to move in the direction that we need to move. Otherwise, we cannot do it properly. Otherwise, we are going to be caught up in doing things that are really immaterial, and God, after we have done them, God looks at us and says, so what? Oh, well, I know I can take so many people to you. And he said, so what? I don't know you. It's not the things we do. It's the things he does that makes a difference. What we can do is just get people more religious than we are. It's the transformation that takes place. It's not somebody that goes to church every Sunday that is really has a relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's the person that has a relationship with the Holy Spirit that goes to church on Sunday. Just think about that. All right. I'm reading from Luke chapter 24, verse 31. Jesus was resurrected. And he was walking on the street, and there were these two disciples walking there. And they started talking about, you know, they were talking with each other and said, what are you talking about? You know, just friendly. And they said, well, you don't know, you're the only one here that doesn't know. You know, that Jesus was, and so, you know, Jesus started talking to them, and after, finally, after a long conversation, something happened. And it's not anymore a superficial conversation. It just, the Holy Spirit gives them revelation of who they're talking about, who they were talking with. And when they got that revelation, poof, Jesus disappears. It's pretty funny. I think it's funny. Because, you know, they were there making all these conversations, and then when you really got it, he's going. I think it's funny. Anyway. But let me read here something that is important to understand. You see, because that shows what really makes the difference. Okay, Luke 24:31 says, and then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. You see, the word knew him is epignosko. See, it means that they really, see, was revealed to them who he was. They connected. for who he was. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us? You see, the heart was starting to be affected. Something was happening to them because of the words that he was saying. And he was touching their heart as he was explaining the scriptures and Moses and all the past. Because they evidently weren't there yet. While they talked with us, by the way. And he opened to us the scripture. You see, he did essentially the work that the Holy Spirit has to do in us as we go to the scripture. It's not just a mental analysis. You know, people want to do computer analysis of the scriptures. Stupidest things to do in the world. I never knew a computer that can have a revelation. See, that's the only way. You can take things the letter kills. The spirit gives life. The computer doesn't, a computer, no matter how smart the computer is, how much artificial intelligence is, it's artificial. Cannot get, is not by counting the number of words in the Bible places and comparing places. No, that doesn't work. It's revelation by the Holy Spirit. This is the way God designed it. That's the way God designed us. So that we can connect with us. Jesus said, no, I'm going away, but don't worry, because in 2000 and so, you know, the computers are going to come out and you're going to understand everything. Hello! People working in the flesh, they try to resolve things of the spirit. What God born of the flesh is flesh, what's born of the spirit is spirit. But that's the direction we are taking. Not everybody, fortunately. So, but to have this relationship I'm talking about, this is so important. I mean, forget about all the other religious stuff. To understand these things, you have to really bring them down to the actual experiences. So, have a relationship with your spouse. If you don't care, if you really don't want to work at it, if you don't want to put the effort that is required to develop that relationship, there's going to be no relationship. You may be living with them, you may be going to bed with them, you can do other things with them, but doesn't do any difference because there is not going to be much of a relationship. The relationship is when you put in your heart to keep, develop, and produce that relationship so that there is real intimacy. It's the same thing with God. You see, God gave us this experience so that we can have the other. We had to learn to have that kind of relationship with Him. And that involves time, interaction, exchange, listening. That's the job the Holy Spirit does today. So, the physical things like the Bible and the other things are great and fine. This helping you because it helps our mind to connect. But you know, one time they didn't have any Bible. And they connected with God anyway. How did they do? If you have so many problems already, you know, and everybody has so different ideas, and they fight about stupid differences of theology, when instead, you know, we should find it much easier than they did. How do you develop that relationship? How do you develop? You have to want it. It has to be a desire inside you. You know, when you fall in love with somebody, the desire is there. You're there, you know, calling them all the time and bothering, you know, and just trying to go out with them, trying to be with them. That's a manifestation of the desire. On the love, that you don't need anybody try to, well, you know, I better put the alarm there for that time because I'm going to see my girlfriend or my boyfriend. You know, don't need that. You remember it. Hello? If there is love, well, it has to be the words with God. You see, Jesus said it, if you thirst and hunger after righteousness, you shall be filled. I mean, that's the promise. But without thirsting and hungering after it, we are not going to experience that filling. So there has to be that passion that we were talking about before that is motivating us to drop to other stuff that are not important. To take, you know, to take time to be focused on it, to do all the things that involves to try to see and understand and realize and study and work for that. Relationships you have to work on if they want them to work well. People have problem relationship in the world with their spouse. And the spouse is there reminding them, hello, I'm here. Can you imagine God that won't say hello? You cannot even see it. The very moment when you get the glimpse of it, he's there, he disappears on you. Are you following what I'm saying? See, we have to start getting full. You have to start meaning business for this in a deeper way. You can pray, and the praying just about doesn't even do it by itself. See, the Pharisees prayed, did a lot pray. Look at what they did. Crucified Jesus. Even studying the Bible. I mean, you got theologians. They're not even born again, so studying the Bible doesn't do it. I'm not saying that you shouldn't pray. I'm not saying that you shouldn't study the Bible. But it starts with the heart. People they study the Bible all the time. They don't even believe about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. They're not even baptized in the Holy Spirit. What's the matter with them? They read all the book of Acts and all the coming after, all the promises they were talking about, even from the Old Testament. What's the matter with them? Their heart is closed. So they hear, but they don't hear. It's a heart relationship. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, we close with this. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you? You see, He is dwelling in your heart. This is the place where it takes place. The dwelling. See, it has to go deeper than your mind. Your thinking, your studying. Being a Christian is an ongoing experiment. Hello? Do you hear what I say? You see, it's never finished. It's always an experiment. There is always something new that you have to learn. There is always something that you have to get pushed through to get closer to God. Because He is so big. So, you know, it doesn't matter what understanding you have today. You have to be there seeking for more understanding. And not make it up so that you feel that you are so spiritual. It's never ending until the day comes when we see Him face to face. And when that is going to happen? Because we see Him as He is, because we can see Him exactly the way He is. That means we understand. But to get there has to be this desire pushing us all the time. Motivating us to seek. You know, it says, seek, you shall find. Well, you know, but if we don't seek, we don't get. Simple as that. He's talking just about the manifestation of God's promises. I mean, everything has to do with the manifestation of God's promises. I mean, our growth is a manifestation of God's promises. An ongoing experiment. You see, involves a commitment to being the lab of life, you know, to really be open to work on those things, on ourselves, in our relationship with God. And He's going to guide us. The Holy Spirit is going to guide us in this process as we are seeking that relationship with Him, as we are cherishing and not grieving the Holy Spirit about going our way, because we know better. Praise the Lord. I feel that we should say something yet together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are our guidance. You show us the truth. I want to know you better. Allow you to direct my life, to show me the things that come, the things I have to do. I'm open. I'm willing. I will see the blessing that God will put upon me because I'm open, because my ears can hear and my eyes can see what you have prepared for me. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.